Good morning, everyone. I want to thank you all for joining. I want to thank Mrs. Fuchs and the entire staff administration of Na'ale for the chance to get together with you young ladies as we approach the Yontif of Pesach. I want to thank, of course, Zoom for making this all possible. Ultimately, thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for making this all possible and give us a chance to share some Divrei Torah and to share ideas. And to prepare for the Yontif, you see up on the screen share, our title this morning is Going In versus Going By, Preparing for Pesach 5780. And that's because there was a very dramatic and charismatic Rosh Yeshiva, the founder of Yeshiva Chaim Berlin in Brooklyn several decades ago, who used to often tell his Talmidim, in thinking about a Yontif, the Yontif coming up, or as a Yontif is leaving, he would say to his Talmidim, I'll tell it to you in Yiddish, but of course I'll translate for the few who don't, whose Yiddish is a little rusty, that one's attitude as a Yontif leaves can't be Nach Yontif Avek nor Nach Yontif Arayin. That when a Yontif has gone by, when we're post-Yontif, we want to make sure now that our attitude after, our feeling after Yontif will not be another Yontif gone by. It was nice. Now look at it in the rear view mirror. It went over my shoulder and it's gone. But we're preparing now to look back after Yontif and say another Yontif gone in. Another Yontif absorbed. The goal of the different points in the Jewish calendar is not just to have nice momentary experiences, but something sticks with us even as we move forward through the calendar. We go through a Pesach and the Pesach goes through us. And every Yontif is meant to help us grow and shape us and raise us in some way. And the way to make that happen, the way to be able to look back in 2 weeks and say, wow, that Yontif went in me and I absorbed something of it, and the way to set ourselves up for success, for gain from the Yontif, is preparing now. Of course, there's a lot of physical preparation that goes into Pesach. And for some, that's something that we're used to. And for many of us, that may be something new this year. But in addition to the physical preparation for the Yontif, if we can also prepare in our minds and our hearts, if we can also prepare in advance by thinking about some of the ideas of the Yontif, to prepare ourselves spiritually, emotionally, mentally for Yontif, to think deeply about what Pesach is about, we're setting ourselves up for success to really absorb something and grow in substantive, permanent ways from the Yontif. You know, one of the two mitzvahs d'oraisa, you know, that we have many mitzvahs, many colorful aspects to Leil HaSeder. They're all built around two mitzvahs d'oraisa. One is all about ideas, and that's Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, V'igalta Levincha Bayamahu Lemar. The discussion and the questions and answers and the conversation, the sharing ideas that it's centered around Maggid and can spread throughout the Leil HaSeder. And that's clearly about ideas. And then there's the other mitzvah, d'oraisa, of Leil HaSeder, and that's Achilas Matzah, Be'erev Tochu Matzahs. But although that's a physical mitzvah, a mitzvah to eat, but it's very much a mitzvah of ideas also. As a matter of fact, the Gemara tells us when the Torah refers to the matzah in Parshas Re'eh as Lechem Oni, that means not only poor man's bread, but also bread of speech, bread of conversation. Va'anisa va'amarta. The Gemara tells us that the matzah is not just something that we eat, but something, one of the reasons why we only eat matzah after Maggid, unlike on a regular Shabbos or Yom Tov night, is because in order to be ready, qualified for the mitzvah, it has to be bread of words. Lechem sha'onim alav dvarim harbe. We have to first have said the Maggid over the matzah. The matzah, as it were, absorbs ideas. It's not just food for thought, it's food of thought. That matzah is supposed to be a very thoughtful mitzvah. So what I'd like to do with you now, you actually think a little bit about that mitzvah of matzah. A little bit about that mitzvah of matzah. I think it'll give us an insight that can point to some practical directions. So we know that there is an aveira, an iser, one cannot eat chametz over the course of Pesach, throughout Pesach. So one reason why all Pesach long we eat matzah is because it's not chametz. It's bread which isn't chametz. But we know that there's more than that, Leil HaSeder. not only are we allowed to eat matzah all Pesach long, it's kasher lePesach, it's not chametz, but Leil HaSeder we're required to specifically eat matzah. And what's that matzah made of? So I'm sure you know that matzah is usually wheat, and perhaps some of the women on this call have someone at home who's sensitive to gluten, celiac or otherwise. So you hear about oat matzah, you hear about spelt matzah, and you probably know that there are only 5 grains from which matzah can be made. Wheat, barley, oats, rye, and spelt. Why those 5? Why can't I make matzah from cornmeal? It definitely wouldn't become chametz. Why can't I make matzah from anything else? Because the Gemara tells us that the Torah puts together in parashas both side by side the iser of eating chametz and the mitzvah of eating matzah. And so the Gemara Pesachim tells us what that means is that it's not enough that the matzah be something that happens to not be chametz. Matzah has to be specifically made from one of those 5 grains because those are the only 5 grains that can become chametz. So the matzah has to be something which didn't just happen to not become chametz. It has to be something which didn't automatically, couldn't have become chametz. Matzah has to be something which is ro'i lahachmetz. Matzah is specifically made from those grains that could have become chametz. It's made from wheat. It's made from barley. It's made from oats. If I would have let it sit, it would have become chametz. In other words, the mitzvah of matzah has to be the product of our hard work. If I make matzah from, if I make unleavened bread from cornmeal, well, it's not going to become chametz. It couldn't become chametz, but that's not so exciting. I didn't do anything to keep it kasher lePesach. Matzah is specifically made from those grains which could have become chametz, and we made sure to instead make it matzah. In other words, one of the lessons, one of the ideas that the mitzvah of Doraisa of matzah conveys is the value of our hard work. The value of something that we produced, that we worked on and we produced. And I want to share with you a Chassidus Shemais that's close to my heart. And I think it'll give us a new perspective on this idea of working hard and this idea of producing and this idea of mental hard work, of how we look at situations. They tell a story about the tzaddik of Mordechai of Zichlin. Zichlin was a town in Poland. And Ramatul of Zichlin, or Mordechai of Zichlin, was the Rebbe of this town. And many Hasidic Rebbes had an affinity for one particular mitzvah. And Rav Mordechai of Zichlin was one of those Rebbes, and he tried to keep all of the mitzvahs, of course. But he had a particular personal connection to the mitzvah of tzitzis. That was his mitzvah. He tried to keep all the mitzvahs, but it's good for a Jew to have something that you specialize in. So for him, it was a mitzvah of tzitzis. He was always thinking, dreaming about how he could be mekayim that mitzvah in a more ideal way. At one point, he got the idea in Poland in the 1800s that he wanted to ramp up the mitzvah to next level by making it out of cloth that was imported from Eretz Yisrael. He thought using a piece of Israeli fabric that would really add to his mitzvah. That was not a simple matter. At the time, there were not good diplomatic relations between Poland, where the Rebbe Mordechai lived, and the Turkish Empire, the Ottomans, who controlled Eretz Yisrael. So getting a piece of fabric from Eretz Yisrael to Poland was not a simple matter, but after 7 months of hard work by many Hasidim, they managed to procure this piece of cloth. And the day that that piece of Israeli fabric arrived in the town of Zichlin, it was a Yom Tov. Everyone was so excited. The Rebbe's mitzvah was about to take a new step up. A lot of spiritual excitement. But you know, the piece of cloth had come raw. Just a raw rectangle of cloth, and it needed to be processed. Someone needed to cut a neck hole in the middle. One chassid in particular was interested. He wanted to be the one to cut the neck hole in the piece of cloth so the rabbi to enable his rabbi to wear this tzitzis. Okay? So he asked for the opportunity. He gets the opportunity. He's all excited. He's going to be a participant in this mitzvah. And he's focused, and he's thinking about it. It's an opportunity of a life, a spiritual opportunity of a lifetime for him. And he takes out the piece of cloth, he brings it home. He takes it out, he folds it over again, cuts off a corner, and unfolds it. And then he has a shock because he realizes that he had been so excited about the bigger picture Yeah, and didn't pay attention to the details. And he had folded over that piece of cloth not two times, but three times. So when he cut off a corner and unfolded it, it wasn't one hole. He had ruined it. Two holes. What's he going to do? Usually you have a rectangle cloth with one neat centered hole, neck hole. It said now there's one hole over here, one hole over there. The piece of cloth is ruined. It had taken months of work to procure this piece of cloth. He wishes he could just, you know, dig a hole to China and jump in, but everyone knows he has it. He has to face the music. So he wraps up the piece of cloth, much less excited than he was minutes earlier. And he comes to the rabbi. And he's bracing. He knows this meant so much to his rabbi, and so many months had been spent working on it, and he, in one fell swoop, just ruined it. Comes to his rebbe and is braced for the worst. And he walks in, he can't even, he's stammering, he can't even speak. He can't even get the words out. He wants to say, I'm sorry. He wants to say it was a mistake. He can't get anything out. And knees are knocking. His hands are shaking. He's so anxious. How's his rebbe going to respond? He's going to be so frustrated with him. He just can't even get the words. He just drops the package in rebbe's desk. Rebbe's no fool. He realizes something's up. Rabbi Carmen says, Yankel, good to see you. Thank you so much. And begins to unwrap the package very calmly with a smile on his face. And Yankel is braced for the worst. And the Rebbe starts to unfold the piece of cloth. And Yankel can't even look. He closes his eyes. He's waiting. And then he hears the Rebbe say something he did not expect to hear. Rebbe says, Yankel, thank you so much. He opens his eyes and says, thank you? He says, yeah. I needed both holes. I needed both neck holes. And now Yankel has forgotten to be frightened. He's just perplexed. You needed both holes? So the rabbi says, absolutely. And the next sentence, he said something which really reflects the capacity to have a totally different perspective on a situation. The rabbi said, I needed both neck holes. Why? He said, well, one was to put my head into. And the other one, yes, the other one was to see, to test, if Mordechai would get angry. Let that sink in for just a moment. In other words, I would have been frustrated. You ruined it. That second hole doesn't belong there. You ruined this piece of cloth. It's all off-centered. It can't really be used in a normal way. You ruined it. But Rav Mordechai, instead of just having seen something and responding, stimulus and response, he was able to insert in between thought. Stop, think, perspective. And the Rebbe of Zichlin said to himself, that second hole is a nisayon from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to see how I'm going to handle it. Am I going to react the typical natural reaction? Temper? Or not. And the Rebbe said to himself, that means that Kadosh Baruch Hu has given me a gift. Kadosh Baruch Hu has given me a challenge. The challenge means an opportunity. That second hole is frustrating, but that second hole is an opportunity for me to rise above the typical reaction and react well. So the Rebbe said, I needed that second hole. That second hole was a chance for me to be challenged. Thank you for giving me that challenge. And it's such a shift in perspective. Such a shift in perspective. Instead of just sort of going with the flow and doing whatever it is, the Rebbe saw this as an opportunity. The Rebbe saw this as an opportunity to be seized by changing perspective. From chametz to matzah, the Rebbe said, something that we can do too. We can work on a situation. We take a situation and make it our own. We take a situation and transform it. It could have been chametz, and I made it matzah instead. That's what Kadosh Baruch Hu was looking for. And I think the chametz and the matzah and the Rebbe of Zichlin, they give us perspective, where all of us are in situations we did not expect. All of us are grappling with situations that were not ones we would have chosen, for sure. But I can just sort of go with the flow and let things be, and the frustrations roll over me. Or I can seek to find the opportunities, because that's part of what matzah reminds us of. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu values the most things we accomplish that needed work. Here's a thought. Here's a thought. Everyone has their own family situation, and different people are at home with different numbers of people. And each of you has your own family situation in terms of the sort of relationship there is between you and siblings, if you have siblings, between you and parents, if there's a mother in your house, if there's a father in your house. But consider the following and adapt it to your situation. Consider taking the 10-minute challenge. Between now and Sunday, between now and Shabbos, between now and Pesach, imagine if you did the following. Imagine if every morning when you woke up or every night before you go to bed, you decide in your mind one person under the roof with you whom over the course of that day you're going to seek to spend 10 minutes mutually enjoyable time. You're going to speak every day. It's one person. It's a parent. It's a sibling. Someone in the house. Over the course of the day, 10 minutes doing something that you both enjoy.
Uncle Chai is here.
You might have the same tastes. Or you might not have the same tastes. Okay. It's a younger brother. It's an older sister. It's a parent. It's a step-parent. Every day, just 10 minutes. 10 minutes of mutually enjoyable time. This is going to take you all of 15 minutes a day. It's going to take you a minute or two earlier that morning or the night before to figure out who's up today. 10 minutes doing something and to plan what sort of enjoyable thing can you do, what will you both enjoy doing. 10 minutes over the course of the day, spending time together in a positive way. And again, there could be there are some people, I'm sure there are some people in your house with whom you're already doing this naturally, maybe some people who you're not. And to seek over the course of time to cycle over the course of the next couple of days, to cycle through the different people in your house. And then, if you want the Mahadran version, spend 2-3 minutes later that evening journaling about it. Just writing. What did I gain from that experience? What did I learn from that experience? And it's not an incredible investment of time. We're talking about 10 to 15 minutes a day. But you're going to look back afterwards at that diary of time spent with different members of the family. You look back at that diary of seeing this time as an opportunity for growing relationships. Growing relationships with the people with whom you're geographically closest, related to, and maybe in some cases have already had rich relationships. In some cases, you know, we haven't spoken that much. We haven't spent that much enjoyable time together. Let's talk about time. But just 10 minutes of the 10-minute challenge. 10 minutes a day of mutually enjoyable time. Working your way through the different people under your roof. And it's a way of building relationships. It might even, for some of you, be a way of over time transforming relationships. And it's also a way of transforming the way we look at situations. It's an example of what we were talking about before. Here we are, and we feel stuck. And we are. We have no choice but to be at home. We can get out, we can go to the nature preserve, go biking outside. But basically, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided that we're here. So we can allow ourselves to just blah, that's the way it is. Or we could seek. We might not always be able to change the physical situation, but we can always change our attitude about the situation. Like the Rebbe of Mordechai of Zichlin, who looked at that second hold of tzitzis and was able in his mind to accurately shift perspective to say, that's an opportunity. And if that's an opportunity, thank you for giving it to me. To look at our situations we're in now, what our Pesach will look like, what family time will look like, and I just gave you just one example, the 10-minute challenge. You're all bright young women. Take this idea and run with it. There are different ways in which you can look at the situations that you're in. Instead of just taking them for granted, think about what perspective you could choose to have on that situation and how that perspective could transform the situations you're in into opportunities. Because every situation HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts us into is an opportunity. And that, as I said before, is one of the great lessons of the mitzvah of matzah. one of the great lessons that HaKadosh Baruch Hu values most when we took something and we invested our work into making it good, into making it into an aspect of our Avodas Hashem. Conversation, after all, is very much a theme of Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim and of the mitzvah of matzah, as we said. The matzah absorbs the Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim. The matzah absorbs that conversation. And so I think this idea of perspective can have particular relevance for us in conversations around the family. But there are all sorts of applications of this idea of looking at the situations we're in and not just being passive, but seeking to figure out, where is the Ratzon Hashem here? How is this an opportunity? How can I turn it around? And with this perspective of matzah and chametz, of Rav Mordechai of Zichlin and the second hole in the tzitzis, I think, if we work at it, we'll be able to look back in Meretz Hashem, and we don't know what's going to be over the next couple of weeks. We don't even necessarily know for sure what's going to be in the next couple of months. But in Meretz Hashem, we'll get together by next year Pesach, Meretz Hashem, we will all be long out of this quarantine and the mandatory closures and all of that. We're going to look back and say, we grew so much. It was not Nachayantav Avek. It wasn't just another Pesach gone by. There's another Pesach that was very much went in. A Pesach that we absorbed. A Pesach gave us the opportunity to think about the power of our growth. And the power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives every single one of us to look at situations and seek to use them for our Avodas Hashem. Thank you so much. Again, I would like to thank the Mrs. Fuchs and the entire staff and administration, the leadership of Na'aleh, for this opportunity to share some time with you. I want to thank every single one of you for coming and participating. I hope some of you will find some of these ideas useful. And I hope you all have a chag, kasher v'sameach, a happy, healthy Yom Tov, full of physical health and spiritual growth and satisfaction. Thank you so, so much.